We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V. E. Howard.
Greetings, my friends. Today we continue the discussion of the subject, forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins is conditional. God, who is the offended, being completely righteous and holy, has the right to require any condition of forgiveness he may desire. The Bible teaches that faith and works are essential to salvation. The inspired Apostle James tells us that faith without works is dead. He affirmed that justification is not by faith only. You read that in James chapter 2, verses 17, 20, and 24. In the action of repentance and baptism, the penitent believer expresses his faith in the forgiving power of the Son of God. The Apostle Peter spoke to the Jews who believed the Holy Spirit's message recorded in Acts chapter 2. In verse 36, he said, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ." That was the same as to say, believe with all of your heart that Jesus is Lord and Christ. Such was not faith only. There was to be action of faith, faith at work. In the very next verse, verse 37, the record states, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Surely there can be no question about it. Having heard the truth about the Christ, they believed it, but in believing, they understood that there was something for them to do. What shall we do, was their question. The inspired apostle told them what they must do as believers. He said, "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins." The 3,000 on that day believed and obeyed the gospel of Christ. In verse 41 it is revealed, "They then that received his word were baptized, and there were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls." Every believer who received remission of sins was he who received the word of the Lord and was baptized, as the Bible says. In the last verse of Acts 2, Luke records that all those who were saved were added to the church. When they were saved, their sins were forgiven. But they were forgiven only when their faith worked through love and obedience to God's command. They that received his word were baptized, the Bible says. God added them to his family, the church, which is the body of Christ, as Paul declared in Ephesians 1:22. My friends, many people have serious misconceptions about forgiveness, and yet this is a most important matter. Unfortunately, many people have come to rely on their feelings or their experiences as a testimony of salvation. Many people feel that they have been forgiven simply because they feel it in their heart, they say. If forgiveness of sins takes place in the mind of the sinner, then, of course, he may know that he has been forgiven because he feels it. But this is not true. We have learned from the Scriptures that forgiveness is an act of God. It takes place in the mind of God in heaven, not in the sinner's heart on earth. If this be true, then a man cannot know that he has been forgiven simply by what he feels. For example, if I should offend my neighbor, how may I know whether or not my neighbor has forgiven me? Certainly not just by feeling that he has forgiven me, not at all. Only when by some means of communication he informs me that I have been forgiven, then only may I have the assurance of his forgiveness. Ladies and gentlemen, are you listening? I say to you that forgiveness of sins takes place in the mind of God, and not according to man's feelings. Man's feelings may easily deceive him. Have you not heard of people who believed a thing to be true, but later learned that it was false? Have you not had that experience? Their feelings were just as sincere, and their emotion were just as much stirred as if it had been true, but it was a false report. Parents have mourned the death of a son only to discover that he was yet alive and well. An inmate in the penitentiary in one of our states was once deceived by thinking that he had been pardoned by the governor. His feelings were genuine, as if he had been told the truth. But was he actually pardoned? No, indeed. The governor did not grant a pardon. It was a false report. Believing that he was pardoned did not grant him a pardon. The only way we can know that we have been pardoned by God is to have some word from him on which to base convictions and assurance. God over and over again has told us in his word what to do to obtain forgiveness. When we learn these things, believe them, and comply with them in every point, we have God's assurance that our sins are remitted. The things God tells us to do are things that cannot be mistaken. God's word is the highest evidence and only assurance of the forgiveness of sin. Are you willing to die in your sins and face the eternal penalty of God as decreed for disobedience? You can't go to heaven with your sins. You know that, don't you? You can't even be happy while on this earth if you're living in sin. Don't you desire God's forgiveness through Christ's love? Then come to Jesus, obey his gospel by faith. You can become a child of God by repenting of your sins and putting Christ on in baptism. You can receive the forgiveness of your sins. You can be sure of that. But it is God who forgives, and he forgives on certain conditions of salvation. Remember, on that memorable day when remission of sins was first offered in the name of the Lord, the people cried out and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" It was the Apostle Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, who directed their obedience to God in the forgiveness of their sins. He commanded, "Repent ye, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ, for or unto the remission of your sins, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The forgiveness of sins is by virtue of the blood of Christ. And obviously, the blood of our Lord was shed in his death. The writing of Paul to the Romans in chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, he said, "Or are you ignorant that all we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, even so we might also walk in newness of life." And in verse 17 of that chapter, the apostle concluded that, "Thanks be to God that whereas ye were servants of sin, you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. Then being made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." Yes, forgiveness of sins by virtue of the blood of the Lord, salvation in Christ. God offers pardon and forgiveness to his children, members of his family, when they sin. There can be no doubt about it. There is a need for forgiveness for the children of God. A child of God may sin, and if he is not forgiven, he will be lost, just as the aged sinner who does not obtain forgiveness will be lost because of his unforgiven sins. The Bible warns God's children about sin. The venerable apostle warned God's people in these words, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall." 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. As the apostle considered his own personal responsibility, he said, "But I keep under my body and bring it in subjection, lest by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be cast away." 1 Corinthians 9, 27. Paul realized that there could be a possibility of being lost himself, although he was a faithful apostle of Christ. In his letter to the Hebrews, the apostle warned God's children, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in falling away from the living God." Hebrews 3, verse 12. The apostle Peter made it definitely known that a child of God may fall away and be lost. He said, "What if after they escape the defilements of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it were better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after having known it to turn back from the holy commandments delivered unto them." 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20-21. Observe the identity of these people and the final results. 1. They escaped the defilements of the world. 2. They escape through the knowledge of Christ. 3, they turn from the holy commandments. 4, they may again become entangled and overcome. And 5, the last state is worse than the first. Jesus, our Lord, declared, you know, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same beareth much fruit, for apart from me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. John 15, verses 5 and 6. Christ made it known that he is the vine, and the disciples are the branches, but the branches may be severed from the vine. Jesus gave the answer as to what may be the results. They gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. But we can thank God, our Heavenly Father, that he is a forgiving Father when we comply with his will. To the Christian, the Apostle John declared, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1, 8 and 9. The Apostle James admonished, brethren, if any among you err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall cover a high multitude of sins. James 5, 19, 20. The erring child of God must be converted, turned again to the Lord, that his sins may be forgiven. The terms of pardon for the fallen child of God include repentance and prayer, Acts 8, verses 13 through 24, Revelation 2, 5, and confession of his sins, according to James 5, 16. The unforgiven child of God will be lost. The faithful child of God will receive a crown of life because of the glorious victory in Christ, according to Revelation 2, 10 and 11. How grateful we must be that we have a forgiving Father in heaven. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, we read of the prodigal son and the forgiving father. The penitent son came to himself and returned to his father with a changed heart, a heart of sorrow, confessing, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. What an open and true confession. What genuine repentance, the only kind that really counts. It was a true penitent heart that brought a wayward son back home. The Bible says, and he arose and came to his father. What love and forgiveness of the father. The Bible says, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. It was the forgiving father who said, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and make merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. But what a contrast to the elder brother. In his heart was anger, malice, jealousy, envy, and even contempt for his own brother. To his father, he complained, when this thy son is come, he didn't even acknowledge him as his brother. And it must be regretfully stated that there are still elder brothers in the world today. And you can be sure that there is no room for forgiveness in a congealed heart of jealousy, bitterness, and malice. What a difference. A forgiven son in the embrace of a loving, forgiving father, clothed in the best robe, with a ring of sonship on his hand and shoes of comfort on his feet, while a sullen, unforgiving elder brother withdraws himself from his father and his brother and throws barbs and brickbats toward both his father and his brother. My friend, are you listening? One very important thing must not be overlooked. Not only is this a scene of a penitent, forgiven prodigal son, but it portrays a loving, compassionate, forgiving Father. And such is our Heavenly Father. Except by the grace of God, not one of us could ever hope to be saved. Yes, salvation is by grace. Truly, let us be grateful for God's forgiveness and be fully determined to abide in His love that He may abide with us.